So let's look at strategy number one, give purposely. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Nobody's got to tell you to give. Nobody's got to command you to give. It ought to be overflowing, and it ought to come naturally. But we decide in our heart up front that we're going to be a giver. And that's what giving purposefully means. So question to ourselves, do I plan my giving, or is it an afterthought? Do I plan my giving as in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 through 10? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So, we're to give our first fruits. The first that we have of everything that we gain is to be given to who? It's been given to God. The first fruits of everything that we gain, that leaves nothing out. The first fruits of everything we gain should be given to God. And then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. You're going to be given back to. So is giving to God your number one priority? When we make our budget each month, is the top line in that budget the first thing in that budget, is it our gift to God? It should be, and let me encourage you to do that. God does not want us to have to be compelled to give. That's not what He desires. He wants us to want to give and to plan our giving. So we should give proportionately. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 is an example of this. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put something aside and store it up as he has prospered, so that there will be no collections when I come. If we were to multiply the amount that we give each month by 10, would we be better off are worse off financially? So if the amount that we give each month to God, if we were to multiply it by just a simple 10, would we be better off or worse off? And that's just giving 10%. And I know so many of us in here give far more than this. And truly, it's not about the amount. It's really about the sacrifice. So question to self, is 10% the highest aspiration I have? Why not 25? Why not 50? Like in Luke 19 and verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it four times over. I remember I think it might have been Kyle Butt, but I think that he was quoting from another preacher that used to preach on giving so often, and so that preacher had decided that he was going to give 10% up front. That was what he was going to do, but he decided early in his life that each year he was going to do his best to add 1% to that. Well, he lived a long time. And he said that he abided by that rule, and he was able to give, at some point in his life, he was able to give as much as 70% of what he had. So that's a lot of giving. That's a big sacrifice. But if the Bible is true, then God says that we're going to be rewarded. I think that he always had plenty. I think that he was always ready to give, and he always had plenty afterwards. So we should give proportionately. Rule number three, give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Just like we've read in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one of us must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. How we give has always been more important than the amount. I don't want to focus too much more on the amount that we give. It's really how we give. When you're able to give to a special cause, are you excited about it? Are you happy for the opportunity to give? Have I missed out on true joy by trying to buy temporal joy? In 1 John 2, in verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, "Do not love the world or things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away along with all of these desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." So have I missed out on the joy of true giving by trying to buy temporal joy? What are your thoughts when you have special lessons on giving, such as Stewardship Sunday? Do you respond to those days that we have, those encouragements to give? Do you respond positively? Or do you respond, "Oh, not another lesson on giving"? It may say something about how we think about giving. We glorify God when we give, and that should make us happy. When we give sacrificially, God responds to us in a sacrificial way. So we should give cheerfully. Our next rule is we should give confidently. God says, "And try me now, says the Lord of hosts," in Malachi 3 and verse 10. "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." You can't outgive God. He is going to overflow us with blessings if we give to Him in the way that we should. We can give confidently, knowing that God is the ultimate giver. If you're not currently giving as you should, ask yourself, is it a lack of faith? God says that it is. Someone might say, "Well, I have to save for retirement. I have all these things that I need to pay for. We got our house payment, we got our car payment, we got the kids' school, we got this and this and this." All those things are good and right of themselves. But if they take precedence over the kingdom of God, then we might need to check our priorities. So I believe that this principle that is taught in Malachi and in Luke 6:38 go hand in hand. Luke 6:38 again, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it's going to be measured back." The Bible has so much to say about giving. There's probably no other subject in the Bible that is spoken more of than giving. And so I think that we need to reflect on it and take it to heart. Am I letting the fear of the future keep me from giving what I can today? Let's give with confidence. So our next rule is to give selflessly. "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing." Luke 6:35. "Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. God reigns on the just and the unjust. God calls us to love our enemies, which is a very hard thing to do. God calls us to do good to those who won't appreciate it. God calls us to do good to those that will never, ever be able to give back to us. Now, I don't believe this is Dean speaking. This is not necessarily from the Bible, but we see so many in our town today. You can't go to a street corner, you can't go to a median stop at a traffic light where you don't see someone on the side of the street begging. Now, I've done a little research, and because I don't want to say something that's out of turn, I know for a fact that some of them are not what they seem to be. Because I've followed them, I've done the things that I could do to find out where they're going, what they're doing with it. You can ask some questions and get to a simple answer pretty quickly. I know one right on the exit in Prattville. I know that he makes about $1,000 a week. And so why do I know that? Because he told us flat out as he was sitting in the restaurant eating with us. So we need to use good judgment, because the money that we give is God's money. We need to be good stewards. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. That's biblical. And so what I would encourage us is to say, well, maybe you should keep your window rolled up, because you never know what's going to happen this day and time. So anyways, I'll move on from that. It's a little hobble horse there, whatever the saying is. Do I sometimes hesitate to give because I think it will be unappreciated? Surely we do that sometimes. But we know when a true need is arises. And the principle here is to give. The principle here is to. We see a lot of people coming into the auditorium from time to time after worship services. They look like they have needs. And so what can we give them more than anything else? More than monetary things, more than food, we can give them the gospel. And they're going to be more receptive of it when we invite them to our storehouse and give out of that on Wednesdays. If they come to that, then there's several men there that are there to help them, and there are several folks there that want to talk about the Bible with them. That's a good way to measure someone. If they come on Sunday, we can do something for them then, but say, come back on Wednesday at this time, and we can help you in a different way and in a special way. If you need some groceries, if you need something, we'll help. If they show up, then you know that they have a need. And then we can approach it in a different light then. Yes, sir.
Right. I said, sure I would, sir. I said, come on. I said, I'll be glad to buy it. I said, go ahead and order what you need, and I'll pay for it. So he ordered him a nice breakfast, and I paid for it, and he thanked me, and I told him, okay, if you go behind the counter, I appreciate it. We left. So the next day, when we went back in there, the girl came up to him and said, Mr. Hatcher, said, was that guy in the kindle? He ate all his breakfast, but he brought the rest of it back and said there's something wrong with it. He wanted the money back. But
Well, but you gave, expecting nothing in return, and it appears that he expected more in return or not. I don't know if y'all heard that story or not, but Wayne and Jean, I think they always go to Hardee's on every morning. And so they were at Hardee's, and they there was a fellow that wanted something to eat, and so they fed him. Wayne and Jean had already left, and the next day they went back to have their breakfast again, and the lady at the counter always knows Wayne and Jean, and so they said, did y'all know him? Because he claimed to be your nephew, and he wanted his money back for his food that he didn't get, or that something was wrong with it, right? So that's a good story. So he got his money back because there was something wrong with his food that he didn't pay for. All right. Our next principle. To give selflessly, Luke 6 and verse 35. We've just read, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. The principle here, loving our enemies, doing good, lending, expecting nothing in return. Where is our reward going to be great? Here? Or in heaven? Our reward's going to be great in heaven. We might not be rewarded here. We might miss out on whatever that was, that blessing that we were going to get. But where are we laying up treasures? We're laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus taught his disciples to give expecting nothing, but then he added, your reward is going to be great. When your giving seems unappreciated, know that your reward is coming from God, and give Him the glory. Let's don't be so nearsighted that we fail to see the big picture in the future. So we need to give abundantly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We keep coming back to this passage in 2 Corinthians 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Question to us. If my giving has plateaued, is it because of financial limits or is it because of faith limits? So this passage in 2 Corinthians 9, I encourage every one of us to go home and take a look at 2 Corinthians 9, really verses chapters 8 and 9, and look at the principles that are given. And so as homework this week, let's all study 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 and see if it makes a difference in how we think. See if it makes a difference in how we treat others. So giving is like planting. If you plant a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. If you give a lot, then you're going to receive a lot. Every time we plant a seed, it produces, if it germinates and builds up, it produces multifold. And so when we plant a seed of giving, the principle is there that it's going to be returned to us in multifold. There's no greater truth spoken of time and time again. The more you give, the more you're going to be blessed. Again, we just can't outgive God. So give faithfully. On the first day of the week, let each one of us lay something aside as he's been prospered. Again, that principle of 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Do I justify doing nothing because I can't do as much as I would like? So our giving should be like our attendance. We've committed that we're going to be here every time the doors are open. We're going to be here every Sunday. And so as we're here every Sunday, we're going to lay by in store as we've been prospered, and we're going to give as we've been prospered. You commit that you're always going to be at worship, just in the same way, commit that you will always give, and you're never going to miss. Now, some of us are paid monthly. And so if you're paid monthly, then that's when you're prospered. And so you give on a monthly basis as you've been prospered. If you're paid bi-weekly, same thing. I don't know how many of us are really paid weekly anymore. I know some are. But the principle is give as you've been prospered. Even if I go out of town on vacation, I've already committed to giving. I've already committed to giving to the local church. And so if I go to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, I'm still going to give to Dalreda on Sundays. I just get another opportunity to give in some way when I worship with the Sevierville Church of Christ. So, but I'm always going to give to the local congregation because that's where I've committed to. That's where I know where the funds are going, and that's where I want to continue to give to. We're given an opportunity to help further God's kingdom through our giving. Why would we want to miss out on the opportunity to give? So we should give faithfully. We should also give sacrificially. Maybe this is the greatest point of the whole lesson. In their deep poverty and abounded, the Macedonians abounded, their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5, we read the account of the Macedonians. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches in Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this was not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. What did they give first? They gave themselves first. What greater gift do we have to give than ourselves? And they begged the apostles to take their gift on. Their monetary gift, but not only their monetary gift. To me, this means that they went on to the work with them. They gave themselves first, and they were ready to go more. Based solely on my giving, is my heart more in heaven or more on earth? Let's read Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible spotlights many sacrificial givers in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Barnabas, when he sold his plot of land, he gave every bit of it. He gave all that was prospered there. He gave it and laid it at the apostles' feet so that it could be used for the saints. The widow in the Old Testament, she and her son were in a drought. It had been a famine for 3 years, and she was about to die. Her son was about to die. But she had faith enough that she gave the last that she had to feed, I believe it was Elijah, wasn't it? Was it Elijah? I think it was Elijah. And what did God do? He continued to let her have oil and grain to make bread for the remainder of... So she never went hungry. They never went hungry. The widow in the New Testament, the widow's mite, she gave all that she had. And Jesus said that she's given the most. And we've just talked about the Macedonians. So it's worth mentioning here, though, God does not ask us to give to a point where we're going to put our family in financial jeopardy. That wouldn't do anybody any good if we became a burden because we've put ourselves in a financial hardship. So that's not what we're saying. We're not saying give so you're going to be destitute. That would be foolish and that wouldn't be a good steward. But the wise family will want to keep themselves in a financial situation where they are not always overstretched to the point where they feel they can't give as they should. That wouldn't be a good steward. If we always overstretch our budgets with things of this world so that we can't give to God in a sacrificial, in an appropriate way. So I encourage young folks, when I'm teaching young folks classes, set a budget, set a monthly budget, stick by that budget. Tell every dollar where it's supposed to go. And I'm a big believer in the Dave Ramsey school of thought in this. And his biggest point is live today like no one else, so in the future you can live like no one else. That's a great principle to live by. And so part of that is making a budget, making a strict budget, and living by that budget. And young people will do well to listen to that and plan for that when they're young so that they can really give like no one else when they're older. Give diversely. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. The really big point to consider is we can't give our way into heaven. But how we give and how we serve and how we minister and above all, why we do the things that we do, because we do these because we love God. And that love overflows, that love of God overflows to everybody around us. And what we do for them, how we give to them, how we minister to them. If we love God, then we're going to love His people. If we love God, then we're going to love the lost. That passage there is Matthew 23:23. So, am I limiting my growth by trying to substitute giving over serving over giving, or money over ministry? So what does that look like? Maybe we're not big on evangelism, personal evangelism. And so we might think, well, I'm going to give to all these evangelistic efforts. But personally, I'm not going to be evangelistic. Now that's a twisted way of thinking, isn't it? What are we supposed to be about on a daily basis? We're supposed to live our lives to such a point where we're always ready to talk about our faith. We're always ready. Wayne and Jean go to Hardee's every morning. Those people should know that Wayne and Jean are Christians. Those people should know that they're giving people. And they see them on a daily basis. When you have opportunity, that's why I like to deal with people that are local. That's why I like to deal and see people. When we go to a restaurant, we like to ask for the same person. Because we like that relationship. We like to establish that relationship. And as you establish relationships in whatever walk of life, whether it's in business or pleasure or whatever, people need to know that we're Christians. And we need to be ready to share the gospel anytime we can. I know Ricky and Kathy Anderson are a lot like this. They like to go to different restaurants, and they like to sit with different people sometimes, but they have a particular mindset of how they're going to touch people. And I appreciate that about them. They're good people as far as ministering in that particular way, checking on folks. Sorry to call you out, but I love y'all. So we need to give spontaneously. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's what the Good Samaritan did. And our question is, do I neglect opportunities to do good because I give on the Lord's Day? Is that what the Levite did? Is that what the priest did? As they walked by and they saw the person laying on the side of the road, almost dead, and they didn't stop to help? But who did stop to help? Jesus speaking here, and we have this account in Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a lawyer stood and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so, who is my neighbor? A person who's in need. And so, the principle is to be ready to give. Always be ready to give. When you really think about it, being able to give spontaneously requires some planning, doesn't it? If we don't have anything to give, then we can't give. So we need to plan. We need to plan to have something so that we can give spontaneously. So we have to budget for things like that as well. There's always going to be needs. You never have to worry about not being able to see a need to meet. What we have to worry about is being able and ready to meet a need when we do see it. So giving is about honoring God, relieving human suffering, accomplishing godly goals, maturing as a Christian. Giving is about loving God. When we give, God gets the glory. It's not about us. It never should be about us. It should be about God getting the glory in everything that we do that's good and right. Giving is a divinely approved means for developing more awareness of others, compassion for others, and self-discipline. So if we resent sermons on giving, then you may be revealing something about yourself. You may think that giving is a burden versus a joy. You may be self-satisfied or unwilling to change. You may feel guilty and you want to protect your ego. If you get angry about it, it could be a measure of the shame, the inner shame that you have. So, we need to leave it all in the field. As Walter Payton said, "It's a horrible feeling for a football player to go into the locker room after a game and know that he didn't give it all he had." How will you feel about your giving when you step off life's playing field? Will you be remembered as one who has given generously, or will you be remembered as one who has given precious little? The last words to leave you with: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 this week. Meditate on those passages, think on them, and I hope you will be blessed by them.